Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. As always, you're invited if you want to join us here. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. There's updates on the raid on the Trump household, the Mar-a-Lago estate that he has. There's more news about that coming out today. We can share that with you. Plus, whatever you want to discuss. But actually, I wanted to start out tonight with an update on a story we covered earlier this week, which is not good news. It wasn't good news earlier this week, and it's getting worse now. The attack on Tornado Cash.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys been following this at all?
I haven't had a chance to read the story, but I did hear about the update to it that I think you're going to be getting into here, and it sounds absolutely crazy.
Has he been indicted yet? Start the story.
Start the story. Yeah. give us some clues here.
Tornado Cash, as I understand it, having never actually used the service myself.
It's Ethereum, I believe,
right? I believe it's an Ethereum mixer, and I think it also will mix Ethereum tokens as well, because a lot of the news around Tornado Cash, for listeners that don't know, earlier this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, the Treasury Department in the U.S. just declared that Tornado Cash is a sanctioned entity. And so even though it's just code.
And the thing is, you know, what I want to know is what exactly did they sanction? Because is it even an entity?
It's just code running on the Ethereum network.
Yeah, if there's no corporation, there's no person to sanction.
Correct.
Right. Well, and then there's two other factors, too. There is the source code, but there's also the protocol. You can have multiple implementations of the protocol, but more of the code, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So you could have two different applications completely written independently, complying with the same protocol and be able to do the same thing. So it's important to know, is it the software that's sanctioned? Is it the person who wrote it that's sanctioned? Is it the users who are sanctioned from using it? Is it the protocol? Because those are all factors in this.
How do you sanction code?
My guess is if they manage to get away with anything, what they're really going to be going after is a particular pile of money. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the thing that makes me say that is when they do civil asset forfeiture, when they actually file the suit, if you haven't been convicted of anything, criminal is different, but with civil asset forfeiture, they will file a suit, which is the United States government against this car.
Right,
or they'll a stack of cash. Actually, sue the property. And so my guess is that they're going to try some sort of legal mumbo jumbo like that, which implies that if you took the same code and you ran it, and you created a different smart contract, that had the same code running on the Ethereum blockchain, it wouldn't be illegal. Kids, don't try this at home.
Until they sanction that code, and then, you know, they just keep playing catch up.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if they can actually sanction the code, because the code is an object. My guess is that the only thing I can think of is that they're sanctioning it as an unincorporated association of people.
As I understood,
which is more or less what a conspiracy is.
From the discussion that we had earlier this week about it, news that had come out.
Most conspiracies are actually incorporated.
As I understand it, they have sanctioned specifically any use of this particular code, like meaning that if you were to go to their website, which has been taken down, but if it were to go back up or whatever, that would be sanctioned.
Who is sanctioning it? It's the U.S.,
the
right?
The U.S. Treasury
Because
Department.
That seems like it's a violation of your constitutional First Amendment rights.
Absolutely it is.
And this is just, it sounds very similar to the encryption, the ban on exporting encryption algorithms, basically in the 90s.
Which basically worked until Zimmerman
challenged it.
Who has balls like cantaloupes. Basically, he published the source code as a book and exported the book.
Yep.
And once he'd done that, the cat was out of the bag, and they couldn't really prosecute him for exporting a book on software.
I mean,
even though it contained the entire software.
The crazy thing is they couldn't have stopped it before anyway, because look, this is the thing. The United States controls people in the United States. The problem is once it's out of the United States doesn't control it anyway. And it already left the United States, well, whether the United States knew it or not.
That was in the 90s. Now the U.S. government seems to think it rules the world. I mean, look at Kim.com.
Sure. They're still trying to extradite
it. It's true. But there are some differences between Kim.com's case in that there is at least the underlying premises of copyright involved, which there is a law in almost every country.
Except the thing about Kim.com is he didn't actually, as I understand it, he's not accused of actually violating any copyrights. He's accused of having a system on the internet that other people used for a purpose.
Okay.
Well, so that's very similar, actually, to what we're going to get into.
So it's very similar to what we've got.
I think it's a
random passive service out on the internet, and somebody used it for something the government doesn't like, and now the guy who created it's called a criminal.
There are flaws in their argument, right? And there's flaws in the Kim case. There's flaws in this case, too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the flaws don't always keep you out of prison.
That's true.
That's the thing. You can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride, as they say. Meaning that, okay, if eventually this guy, for those that we haven't even gotten to the news, 29-year-old man has been arrested in Amsterdam. He is accused of being one of the programmers of Tornado Cash, and that they're trying to say that that's a crime, that creating a program that was simply
and
created
an
for privacy.
And ex post facto law, because nobody knew that was illegal until after it had been written.
Well
I don't know if there is a law involved.
Here's another big question. Are they trying him in Amsterdam under the Netherlands law, or are they extraditing him, or what? Because if he's sanctioned in the United States, that law, that sanctions, they don't apply to somebody in Amsterdam.
The story doesn't mention extradition, so it's not clear who's doing the prosecuting. Mm-hmm. It may be the Netherlands police that are bringing this case.
And then it begs the question, under what law are they bringing against him?
I don't know.
Charges. Netherlands, they might not need a law. This is the same place where they're shutting down the farmers. For all of a sudden, I guess nitrogen's bad. So, the leftists are now at war with 80% of the atmosphere.
So the other thing that I didn't get to about the sanctions, as I understand it, and please feel free to call in if you know a little bit more about this case, the sanctions are ostensibly also applied to the addresses associated with Tornado Cash. So Tornado Cash is a mixer for Ethereum. For those listeners that don't know, the idea is multiple people put their Ethereum or their tokens into this mixer, and then it mixes them up, and it makes it very difficult to figure out who put what in when they get the things back out, basically. And so they're saying that if you've received... Or if you after the fact of this being sanctioned, if you receive coins from this mixer, that you will be prosecuted.
How would I even know if I received coins from the mixer?
Some addresses
are
public.
You can track it down because each unspent output.
I'm not talking I'm not talking about technically speaking. Yes, technically speaking.
Well, technically,
right?
It's how you do it. It's a computer program.
Hold on. Back up a moment. Am I supposed to keep track of U.S. dollar bills and who received them? And like, if the government sanctions U.S. dollar bills, not accept them? I mean,
absurd.
Right. It's absurd. That's the point that I'm making. This is absolutely absurd.
That's kind of what money laundering is, though. If you know or should have known that it came from a crime, and I would not be surprised if they start sanctioning actually the unspent outputs. And basically an unspent output is more or less the coin in Bitcoin. It's what a hunk of Bitcoin is, and unspent is kind of a misnomer because it may have been spent by many times, but if it's in your wallet, it hasn't been spent by you yet.
Right.
And so they could literally track down all of the unspent outputs and say, you can't accept any of these coins ever from anybody.
There's an interesting...
So make them non-money. I plan to do that with a coin that I was developing if any of it ever fell into the hands of the government.
There's more coming up here. There's also something very interesting that's happened in the last week with some of those unspent outputs. More coming. It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. We're talking about the attack on privacy, the attack on cryptocurrency that is continuing to worsen now with a programmer arrested. The gentleman's name, we haven't even said that yet, and he deserves credit. Alex Partsev, who is one of the programmers.
Hats off to you, sir.
Absolutely.
Yep, he's one of the programmers, maybe the programmer. I don't know how many people were involved in creating Tornado Cash, which is a way for people to anonymize, to some extent, their usage of the Ethereum blockchain, Ethereum being the number two largest cryptocurrency by market cap on the planet right now. And the U.S. government targeted Tornado Cash earlier this week with sanctioning, which is pretty much a first, I think. There was another mixer that was sanctioned earlier this year, but I don't think that one was open source. This one is.
Well, the software may have been open source, but it was a closed corporation running it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my interpretation of this has been this is a decentralized, some sort of decentralized mixer.
Yeah, it's just code on the Ethereum blockchain. Yeah.
Well, there's no way of knowing if it's decentralized because once the smart contract exists on the blockchain, you can die. That thing's going to keep on running.
Right.
So it may not be decentralized because it may not be run at all.
So you don't have to. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to go to a central server in order to use Tornado
Cash. It's code running on the Ethereum blockchain. Now, there was a website which had a front end for people to utilize, but there's also a command line interface as well.
That you can just download and use.
Again, it's open source. It was on GitHub until, of course, GitHub took down the code earlier this week because it's Microsoft.
I wonder where else that code is. I'd love to have a copy see what it does.
I wonder if there's a torrent of it find.
There must be various different ways.
Or something like that.
I'm sure there are various different ways to get your hands on this code if that's what you want to do. But is that a sanctioned thing? Is it sanctioned to now even have a copy of this code because it's so dangerous to the state?
Well, I don't know. I mean, someone would have to tell me what law.
Well, wouldn't that also be prior restraint too? I mean, isn't that another issue in
what
this
does that
case?
Mean?
Usually when you publish something, the government can't do prior restraint and say you can't publish that in the future. What they can do is wait for you to publish it and then go after you. And that was a big issue when the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers. The court said we're not going to restrain them from publishing this in advance, but you can go after him after he does. This is when the New York Times still employed actual journalists. I guess they just recently waited to ask permission from a senator before publishing an op-ed.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think basically what it does is it enables the government to go after an individual or maybe even an entity, but not necessarily stop them from publishing.
It can't be prior restraint.
Right.
So there was one other interesting thing that happened this week after Tornado Cash was sanctioned. And the news came out that if you interact with the Tornado Cash contract, smart contract on Ethereum, and you're based in the United States, that is now a crime. It's now a felony to commit that quote unquote crime of using open source code on the internet. That what happened shortly after that apparently is somebody started sending Ethereum, and not dust level Ethereum, but a tenth of an Ethereum.
Yep.
So, you know, right now,
Ethereum is like $200.
Yeah, about $200.
So let me ask what you're saying.
Let me finish my statement.
Okay.
They started sending tenths of Ethereum out to known public personas who have published. Because if you don't publish your Ethereum address, then no one knows it's yours. But if you've published that, hey, this is my address, then anyone can send you Ethereum. He sent one, I believe, to Brian Armstrong, who's the CEO of Coinbase. And so, like, big name people. I don't have the whole list of who it was, but, like, identifiable known Ethereum addresses. He sent out a tenth of an Ethereum to each of the, or she, or whoever it was.
Well, I could use some Ethereum, so I'll publish my address if somebody wants to send me a tenth. I could use it.
So but the idea is this makes those people sanctioned entities. They're guilty of interacting purportedly with the sanctioned entity.
Two questions then. Okay, so what you're saying
even though they didn't do it.
There's somebody who's using Tornado Cash sends you Ethereum to your public address, like say a donation.
Yeah, you could be charged listed. With a crime.
You could be charged because they're contaminating your wallet, your Ethereum wallet, then, so to speak.
I doubt you could be charged for that.
Sure, they could charge you. They just might not convict you.
But what they could do is basically, there's a way to embed text in the blockchain. There was a newspaper headline. So basically what they could do is encode basically a text message notifying whoever holds the wallet. We don't know who you are, but whoever holds this wallet, this particular bit of Ethereum that you got was used in criminal activity. And now that you know that, if you spend it, it'll be money laundering. So we're not going to charge you, but you're going to need to get rid of that. Here's the address you send it to.
But here's the thing. I mean, you don't have an option generally to pick, oh, I'm going to only send that contaminated Ethereum that I received.
It would be very difficult.
You can actually.
Not in a normal app, though, right?
Koinomi, you can do it.
How do you do that? That's curious.
It's getting a little technical, but.
I don't want to hear the technical explanation, but
you can definitely do it if you're handcrafting your transactions.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So you have to go to a terminal of some kind and type something
advanced.
They would probably generate the transaction for you and say just sign this and put it in.
And then of course if you send it, is that not then violating
that would also violate the sanctions.
Not if you're sending it to the government.
Well, yeah, they would waive that if you're doing it under threat of government action. Now of course they could charge you for receiving sanctioned money or receiving something from this sanctioned address, but they couldn't prove that you were the one that did it, ultimately. That doesn't mean they wouldn't ruin your life.
If somebody sends cryptocurrency, you're the one person that they can pretty much rule out most of the time. The one person who didn't send me cryptocurrency is me, because why bother?
Well,
unless you're moving it from wallet to wallet.
That's the thing. This would be coming from a mixer, so the suggestion is that person must have been the one that sent it, but there's no proof of that. So again, they could arrest these people, but they could screw with them, and they could take them to court, and they could get plea deals maybe. But ultimately, if you actually fought this, you should be able to beat a charge like that.
I mean, presumably anything though downstream is contaminated that came from Tornado Cash, right?
So
if you got something from, if you intentionally used Tornado Cash to get to anonymize your Ethereum, then sent some of that to me, I didn't know about it, and then I sent it to somebody else, that other person still
everybody's a criminal.
Well, basically what they would do is money laundering is based on if you knew or should have known that was the proceeds of a criminal offense. So let's say that somebody sends you that's one of the things they could conceivably charge you with, and the logic they would have to use unless it's from a criminal act. Right, but what they would say is if you're using a coin mixing service, then you should know that some people using that service are involved in crime.
How would you know that?
Well, by virtue of why else are they doing it?
Because they want privacy.
I don't think
you can say you know that.
They don't care about
it. And they can't prove it.
Well, that's the thing. They are trying to allege that this programmer knew that people were going to use his technology for illegal purposes. There's more coming up.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open here, and you can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're digging into this tornado cash situation, and there's actually an interesting story that I've got pulled up here from the Whiteboard Crypto website, and they've got like a little email list that they send info out to. It's actually a pretty good little email, and it got into a lot of the details on what this actually means, these sanctions, what could result in as far as criminal charges against people for using Tornado Cash or even being tangentially or somehow related to the use of Tornado Cash. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
So we're going to dig in further into that coming up here in moments. But I also want to make sure you know about Bitcoin.com. Because if you are interested in cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, then get on over to Bitcoin.com where you can click on Get Started at the top of the page, and then that'll take you to some introductory videos that will help explain to you some of the basics about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. You got to get started by learning, you know, things about decentralization, why it is that the government hates this technology so much, because it's a threat to their establishment. It's a threat to their money system. And that is why they are lashing out in every way possible. That's why they brought the case against the Crypto 6, of course.
For sure.
That's why they're bringing this case against the developer of Tornado Cash, sanctioning Tornado Cash. And there's so many other examples. SEC prosecuting Library and Ripple and countless others.
Dude, they're prosecuting their own people when it comes to creating crypto. The banking cryptocurrency. What was it? Ripple, was it? Was that the banking one?
I mean, they're trying to. Like, Ripple was trying to be sold to the banking industry. They were trying to serve the banking industry.
Right, and be very compliant with the government. And even though they did that, right. It's like,
well, the thing is, you can use their coin without using their token. You can use the same technology, spin up your very own blockchain, but zero's been mined.
I want to go to the phones here. We got Major Payne. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. What's on your mind, Major?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm thinking about these 87,000 IRS agents that they're adding.
Oh, yeah. That's another good story.
The circular that they petitioned to recruit these guys reads like a battle brochure. I mean, they want you to be hard and ready and, you know.
Armed to the teeth.
Oh, I always am.
They're looking to hire another 87,000 Marines. And, you know, every Alpha agency's got a damn armory.
Yeah, you're referring to the advertisement that apparently they posted somewhere online to hire these 87,000 people that was saying that they needed to be prepared to carry arms and shoot people if necessary. And then they apparently went and removed some of that wording from the advertisement.
Always remember, the government values your money more than it values your life.
Oh yeah.
If you want to see it, it was on the DC Patriot.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. And then they changed it because of all the feedback.
Only 70,000 agents now. They want another 87,000. Hell, like the 70 they got ain't making us miserable enough.
Yeah, well, the only answer is to get out of the United States as far as secession. I mean, you can obviously physically leave if you can afford it, but political solutions are not going to include voting new people into the federal government. It is never going to change. It's never going to get better. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The swamp will infect them if they are already not an evil person. And so the only way out is to say peacefully goodbye.
Best case scenario, if you choose somebody with absolute integrity who cannot be bought, threatened, intimidated, or blackmailed, they'll just whack them.
Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. So apparently it was Wednesday. The news is
Wednesday
coming out
Adams?
Today. No.
Oh, okay.
Wednesday this week, the news is coming out now where the FIOD, that is the law enforcement, what I believe is to be the equivalent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation or the FBI, in the Netherlands, arrested a 29-year-old man in Amsterdam. He is suspected of involvement in, this is their press release, by the way, right from their website, FIOD.nl. He is suspected of involvement in concealing criminal finance flows and facilitating
money laundering.
And facilitating money laundering through the mixing of cryptocurrencies through the decentralized Ethereum mixing service Tornado Cash. Multiple arrests are not ruled out. These advanced technologies, such as decentralized organizations that may... That's an advanced technology, a decentralized... I guess it is compared to the old corporate setup.
I mean, sure.
It's, the funny thing about a DAO is it's not a technology... For software so much as it's a way of organizing people.
It's a newer way, and so there, I guess it is advanced compared to old corporate setups. But anyway, such as decentralized organizations that may facilitate money laundering are receiving extra attention from the FIOD. Also in the cryptocurrency domain, the FIOD stands for a safe financial Netherlands and investigates with effect.
Oh yeah, you're safe so long as you don't write any damn software. Then you're screwed.
And investigates with effect and impact. Today, the suspect is brought before the examining judge. Tornado Cash is a mixing service for cryptocurrencies. The online service makes it possible to conceal the origin or destination of cryptocurrencies. The criminal origin of the cryptocurrencies is often not or hardly checked by such mixing services. That's because there
How
is no service.
You?
There is no. There's no person right. that's running this.
This is another example of. Prosecutorial, I guess, or I don't know, or is this the I guess this is the equivalent of the FBI.
It's the FBI, basically.
But this is the equivalent of the FBI basically getting up and lying to the public about what's going on, because
they do all the time.
Right, which they do every time. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, the more I follow a case, the more lies that I hear or I notice. It's like if you read the press releases, you know, you'll notice some things. But if you start like going through like actual, the docket, right? And mm-hmm. look through like different things that are submitted, you'll very quickly notice that like every other word that comes out of the government's mouth is a lie when it comes to cases particularly like this. But it's not even just cases like this, but in particular cases like this.
Never forget what Nietzsche wrote. The government is the coldest of cold monsters. Coldly it lies, and this lie droppeth from its lips, that I, the government, am the people. Mm. Everything the government says is a lie, and everything they have is stolen.
Absolutely.
I like Nietzsche.
In June of 2022, the Financial Advanced Cyber Team, FACT, of the FIOD started a criminal investigation against Tornado Cash that is offered on the internet by means of a decentralized autonomous organization. A DAO, DAO, is an organization that does not have a hierarchical decision-making process, for example, by a board. Instead, decisions are made on the basis of members' votes. The decisions are recorded in a programming code in a so-called smart contract. The operation of the DAO also takes place using these smart contracts. That seems relatively true, as far as a summary of what a decentralized autonomous organization is. And there is one that is involved in Tornado Cash, as I understand it. But Tornado Cash itself is just a contract that was issued, I don't know, a couple years ago or two or three years ago mm-hmm. onto the Ethereum blockchain. I don't know if the DAO can go in there and change that. Maybe they can.
Mm-hmm. May be no way to stop it.
Yeah, I don't think there is. FACT suspects that through Tornado, I think they mean though... I don't know. Maybe it's probably not their native language here. It's an English version.
FACT.
If they're in the Netherlands, it's almost certainly not their native language.
FACT stands for the Financial Advanced Cyber Team.
Oh, that's interesting. There's another copyright organization that goes out like anti-piracy organization that's also called FACT.
Suspects that through Tornado Cash has been used to conceal large-scale criminal money flows, including from online thefts of cryptocurrencies, so-called hacks and scams. These include funds stolen through hacks by a group believed to be associated with North Korea. Tornado Cash started in 2019, and according to FACT, it has achieved turnover of at least $7 billion. Investigations showed that at least $1 billion worth of cryptocurrencies of criminal origin passed through the mixer. It is suspected that persons behind this organization have made large-scale profits from these transactions. Since Monday this week, Tornado Cash has been placed by the U.S. government on the OFAC sanctions list of America, so that's somehow relevant to what goes on in the Netherlands.
So they even gave us a number there? It was $1 billion out of how much?
That's what they allege.
One out of seven.
Okay. So most of it is not criminal.
Most of it's not. The investigation is led, or at least that they know of, led by the Public Prosecutor's Office for Serious Fraud, Environmental Crime, and Asset Confiscation. So it does sound like they're charging him in the Netherlands over this. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The phones are open here. We're talking about an attack, the continuing attack, but the latest news in the attack against privacy on the world of cryptocurrency, attacking the Tornado Cash mixer, which is not the first mixer they've come after. They did go after a different one in, I think it was May of this year, but I believe the difference, and I have not confirmed this yet, but I believe the difference is that the mixer they attacked earlier this year with sanctions was not an open source mixer, and this one is. This is called Tornado Cash, and it is essentially, as one guy puts it here on a Twitter thread about the guy they've now arrested. They've arrested one of the contributors to Tornado Cash, one of the programmers named Alex Pertsev. A gentleman named Chris Bleck is writing about this on his Twitter account, at Chris, B-L-E-C. He says that Tornado Cash, so he's got the announcement that we just read a few moments ago by the Netherlands police, essentially their equivalent of the FBI, the FIOD over there. He says the announcement contains errors. It says that Tornado is operated by a decentralized autonomous organization. That is wrong. He says there is no entity. Tornado is open source code running in several autonomous smart contracts. It was written once, deployed once, and not touched since then. I think that's interesting, right?
It's like, yeah.
These guys cooked up some code for privacy. They put it on the internet. They invited everybody to use it. And turns out some criminals used it. So yeah. Now they're being charged with criminal acts.
I mean, you know, this sort of almost sounds sort of like kind of a similar, I don't know how similar it is exactly, but it sort of sounds like the absurdity is kind of like going after UPS or USP, the
post office, ships some drugs.
Because somebody ships some drugs. Like, yeah. Really? I mean,
they're not doing that though, are they? It would be really
obviously it would be right. Ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous. And plus UPS has lawyers, right?
Yeah.
So UPS is a wealthy organization that is going to fight if all of a sudden the federal government shows up and says, well, somebody shipped some drugs through your service, so we're going to go ahead and arrest your whole management team now. That's not going to go. That's not going to fly.
And every major corporation is run by friends of the existing power structure.
Right.
The establishment doesn't go after the establishment. They go after anybody who becomes a threat to the establishment.
I also have to wonder, you know, writing code and publishing it are two different things, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, even if you're going to make the argument that there's some sort of criminal liability because you should have known, if the person who wrote the code isn't the one who published the code or executed it, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how much liability can there be, right? Like,
I mean, if Alexander the Graham Bell had thought ahead, he would have known that the telephone would be used to hire murderers,
right,
to arrange all sorts of criminal deals. If Henry Ford had thought ahead, he would have known that the automobile would be used for all kinds of nefarious purposes, even by the IRS. you know, it's pretty much by that standard. Unless you're one of the privileged establishment people who can do no wrong, the rest of us, by not being privileged, can do no right.
Yeah.
Anything we do will screw us.
They come for you whenever they
want. Right. Because, you know, I should know, as a business owner who sells computers, that my computers will, if I sell computers, some criminal at some point will come along, buy a computer, and then use it, right, for criminal activity.
Somebody's
am I supposed to then not sell computers?
I'm
that.
Sure.
How could you?
Right? Like, yeah. Yep. He points out here, because this is again Chris Black, he says, more importantly, Tornado wasn't written for illicit reasons. Ethereum offers no default privacy to its users. Tornado helps the average Ethereum user conceal their finances from one another. That's why it was created. It wasn't created to assist criminals. Tornado actually added a compliance feature in recent years. Any Tornado user can prove the address that sent and received the funds from any note. This gives Tornado users a way to show their government overlords that they're not crooks, but this was not enough for them. If a criminal can get it, then no one can get it. This is the government attitude towards privacy. You will have no privacy as long as a quote-unquote criminal can also access it. This is the immoral, unethical, and illogical case for Know Your Customer requirements. The only way Tornado could have fixed this was with Know Your Customer, which they couldn't possibly do. It's a decentralized contract.
Yeah, I mean, a computer program can't do KYC. I mean, think about if you're selling Bitcoin, think about what you have to go through with a user to try and establish whether they are honestly buying Bitcoin for themselves or whether they're being scammed.
It's very difficult.
Even natural intelligence is falls short yep. on that task frequently.
That's because the victims are told to lie.
The
scammers tell the victims to tell lies in order to pass through KYC requirements.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you're working between between a rock and a hard place because if they say, oh no, I'm not getting scammed, I'm buying weed, then you're screwed too.
There is something I think that's important to note about this case, and I it's not so much, I don't know if this is the case in the Netherlands specifically, but generally speaking, it's not enough to know that people can use your product to commit crimes. That's not necessarily a crime, knowing that people can use your product to commit crimes. It's selling or doing business with somebody who you know is committing crimes. That becomes the problem.
Money laundering.
So it's a big question here, I think, is that a requirement in the Netherlands law in terms of this case? You would think it would have to be pretty much, but...
Mm-hmm. When I can't,
otherwise everybody's a criminal.
I trade in dollars. I know that not only are dollars used in war crimes, but the same people who are issuing the dollars are committing the war crimes.
Mm-hmm. But they exempt themselves.
What can I do?
Yeah. A little bit more here. This is from the... What is this called? Whiteboardcrypto.com newsletter, where he gets into some of the details on what these sanctions are. He says, so... there's an organization called the Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, which is a government agency that investigates who the United States should be blocked from doing business with. And by that, they mean the people of the United States. Obviously, we shouldn't be doing business with criminals, right? There's this special list called the SDN.
I'd rather deal with criminals than deal with politicians.
Or specially designated national and blocked persons list that contains a list of people, groups of people, and things that are now illegal to interact with. This is what the sanctioned persons list, basically. Some of these countries include Cuba, Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, but recently Tornado Cash was added to the list. That means it is now illegal for any U.S. person to engage in trade or perform quote-unquote other dealings with the decentralized application known as Tornado Cash.
Is this like the no-fly list where there's like no due process of law?
That's what it seems like.
Once you're on the list, you can't get off the list.
Yeah, how do you challenge this?
Yeah. It's
you have to commit.
I'd like to know the answer.
You have to violate it first.
I mean,
and then
you probably have to go to prison first, and then maybe you'll win on appeal once your life is ruined.
Right, because anybody who would...
After a couple of decades, and of course probably many other people doing the same thing, because the Supreme Court won't take it.
Right,
because
who has, besides somebody charged criminally, besides somebody who's been charged criminally, who has standing? Well, in theory, it would be the operators of Tornado Cash, but there are none. It's just somebody wrote the code. So would it be people who wrote the code that have standing? Well, none of those. If there's anybody...
Probably the owner of the copyright.
If there's... Well, there's no such thing.
There's no copyright.
There is if it's under, like, GPL or something. GPL products are actually copyrighted.
Is smart contracts under GPL? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, I think any contract can be placed under any license you want, like any other piece of open source software.
Well, we don't know how many programmers there were. We know at least one has been arrested now in the Netherlands, or maybe more. Maybe some of them are anonymous. Maybe others are not anonymous. And so certainly the anonymous ones would be fools to step into the limelight and say, oh yeah, I worked on that code. Let me challenge this.
What would make sense would be for them to sell the copyright to somebody who's willing to step forward for a dollar just so he can do that without being one
of the programmers.
He's the owner now, but he wasn't the owner then, and he can prove it.
You know, and it's also kind of interesting because if somebody submitted, I don't know, say a patch, right, to Tornado Cash, right, and the patch was accepted, right, are they also then, you know, guilty of, like,
good chance of it.
All these accusations now because they submitted
they're
a patch?
They're going to get into that. They're going to get into
some small bug fix.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The one possibility that would change everything, of course, would be if this guy was actually out soliciting people that he knew to be criminals to use his service as a way to defend
themselves.
They're
not even alleging that.
Yeah.
They're not even making that claim.
Yeah. Not yet.
Sure. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But usually they bring out all the worst sounding claims with the press release. Mm-hmm. So if they were going to make that allegation, I think they would have by now. But there's more to say about this. And if you want to weigh in, you can join us. And on the way, also, Pornhub is back in the news. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. I want to say thank you to A. Friedman, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support, and A. Friedman is gold level, which means that A. Friedman is contributing at least $10 a month to what we do here, which is spreading the ideas of freedom. So if you like what we do, please, you can join him over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
Let's go to the phones to the fun. We got more to say on this attack against privacy, the latest attack against cryptocurrency on a mixing service called Tornado Cash, which has now been added to the sanctioned entities list in the United States. But first, Olivia is on the line in Arizona. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hey, dudette.
Hey. I'm really glad that the tech people are on tonight, because I just watched a video that it was something that I had noticed, but I haven't really heard anybody cover, so I'm sorry if you guys have already talked about it. But
did you say the putz people?
Tech people.
The tech people. Oh, okay. That was way
no,
off.
No, not the putz people.
Okay, what was the video?
It's by Jimmy Corsetti of Bright Insight. He was a guest on Joe Rogan once. And he was talking about how Google and other search engines are deleting parts of the internet, or really what they're not doing is they're not accessing parts of the internet. So people will remember, used to, if you typed in a popular keyword, you'd get billions of results, and you could literally click on those pages at the bottom that just seemed to go on forever. Mm-hmm. And now if you do that, you guys probably don't use Google, but if you do that now,
I do
you'll
sometimes.
Notice, like,
sometimes you have no choice.
Mm. Right, exactly. So if you go to images, you get very few images anymore. The page doesn't go on forever. And if you go to the bottom with the numbers to click through the pages, you only get about 40 pages.
Really?
At most. It's about 20. And then if you click repeat with omitted searches that are similar, you only get about 40 pages. And on the last page, it'll say it goes from so many billions of results to like 400 results. It's really crazy. So they basically, and it's all popular, like news media outlets, you know, it's all the name brand stuff. So if you have a little blog, you know, the internet was for everyone. If you had a little blog, you'd still be out there depending. You could type in a quote. I remember, and it's not just controversial topics. I was looking for a news story about Yoko Ono, an interview that she had given about when she was younger. She heard this story about the samurai who decided to take on all the troubles of the world, and she thought that was really noble, so she decided to do that too, and she had nothing but bad luck. And then when she decided she was done with that, and she just wanted like these seven blessings or something, some kind of Japanese religious philosophy, then her luck changed, and she became this like household name. So, and I couldn't find that interview anywhere. It was just all John Lennon stuff, and so it's any topic.
I actually had that experience with two different things. You used to be able to type in a few words out of a quote and find that quote on the internet.
You can still
I was
do
looking
that.
For something out of John Locke's second treatise on government, fifth chapter.
And you're putting quotes around it, right?
Well, I didn't have that many words in order, but basically I had to go to the book, and then I was looking for images of violence from the civil rights era, because somebody was saying, people have to have a lot of hate to make them not want to make America great again. I was like, well, you know, there are people out there for whom America was never that great. Mm-hmm. you know, they're having dogs sicked on them because they wanted to be treated like humans. So I was trying to photobomb them. And I could find very few images of violence from the civil rights era, and a lot of them were repeats. Mm. Like I'd get the same image like 50 times in different shapes and sizes. It used to be better. We need decentralized search.
Yeah, this is interesting. And go ahead and give credit to whoever it was that you said was on Rogan that mentioned this, Olivia. Who
is it? His name is Jimmy Corsetti of Bright Insight.
Yeah, this is interesting. I just tested the claim, because normally when you're searching for something, you're searching for something specific, right? And so it's not unbelievable that there's only 20 pages of results. I looked for something specific. So I just searched for the word search.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's probably a lot of results for the word search on the internet, right? And indeed,
if you search for them.
And Google does say when you search for the word search that there are 25 billion results, 25.2 billion results, but yet, as Olivia points out, you can only go up to 20 pages of them, and then if you do the omitted results, then it goes to 40 or 41 pages, and that's it. That's all you get.
So what would be really interesting would be come up with a decentralized search engine where basically it uses the SETI approach of spreading the data across a lot of different people's computers, and basically the way it would operate it is you put in your search term to whatever you put it into, okay, and then basically you flag the best results you got back. This is what I was looking for when I typed that in, and then aggregate all that data across a lot of different machines. The neat thing is the aggregators would get to see all the cool stuff that other people were searching on. And when something got popular, all of a sudden it would start being bandied around a lot. So it would be like the trending list on Twitter.
Wasn't there something like that? I feel like we've talked about alternatives to Google search before, and there were some, I don't know, maybe it was one that you mentioned, Chris, that might have had some kind of... It sounds familiar to me what you're describing, nobody. Maybe there is something like that out there. I just don't recall. Do you know, Chris, offhand, does that ring a bell for you?
I'm not entirely sure what we're talking about, except
a decentralized search.
Yeah, I think pre-search is the one that comes to mind.
I've heard
it's
of
like
that.
I think it's blockchain-based.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. I knew there was one that would involve blockchain and some sort of a client.
Yeah. There's some others out there, but I know there's some that are like really complicated to set up, and then there's others that are like they're sort of intended to make your search results more anonymous as opposed to being like an actual search engine and indexing its own content.
The thing I really want to see on the blockchain, because I think this is going to become, as we move further and further into the Orwell years, I think this is going to become a real issue. I would love it if people started taking the text of like every story published in the New York Times, take the full text of it and hash it. So all of a sudden, you know,
if they changed it.
If the hash changes, you know they changed the text of that article. And I was thinking of that when they redefined recession. you know, straight out of Orwell. I mean, I first quiz I took in economics, what's the definition of recession? It's two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth. That's all it's ever been. Even the idiots who say that's not the definition anymore, they can't tell you what the definition is now. It's a word without a definition.
Olivia, anything else you want to share tonight?
Yes. So this just deeply really upsets me because, you know, the internet was the final frontier, you know, and it just seemed impossible to regulate, you know, and the spread of information and free information and the chance for anybody to kind of be found and share what they have is so sacred and paramount. And I used to find all these cool indie designers because I'm into like interior design and decorating and things like that. Mm-hmm. And now I try to find them. I can't, like nobody said, I try to type in like words I can remember of a quote. Used to, it was super easy to find what you wanted. Now you get completely unrelated crap. Mm-hmm. So it's just really distressing. This is how they monopolize things. Mm-hmm. And once again, now you have to know someone who puts you out in front of people instead of on the merits of your work. And it's just really a bummer.
What I think we need to do is go from the internet to the undernet. Okay.
What does that mean?
What I mean is we need an undergroundish piece of internet.
Something not the dark
like,
web.
Something you know, maybe not the dark web, maybe the twilight web. you know, that basically is something that's decentralized.
Olivia, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. And yeah, Chris, it was the pre-search one that that claims at least to be decentralized. You can run a node, for instance. There's some sort of a crypto involved. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Phones are open and you can join us here. All you gotta do is call in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Of course, inflation is at 40-year record highs. The dollar continues to weaken and a lot of people are looking for alternatives. And one of those alternatives, of course, is precious metals. Folks over at BullionMax.com can help you with this. They are a direct consumer precious metals retailer. They can help you diversify into gold and silver. It's security for your family in times of crisis. You can buy direct from BullionMax.com without talking to a salesperson, and your precious metals ship fully insured directly to your home. It's fast and easy. Free Talk Live has a special offer to get you started. You can get BullionMax.com Silver Starter Kit at employee pricing. Just go to BullionMax.com/FTL. You get 5 ounces of the most desirable silver products, including a 2022 Silver American Eagle, the Buffalo Round, and Buffalo Silver Bar. It's limited to just one of these starter kits per household. So you can get yours now. Just go to BullionMax.com/FTL. That's BullionMax.com/FTL. And Ron Paul has been working with Bullion Max as one of their spokespeople, which makes it pretty good in my book. Once again, BullionMax.com/FTL. And tonight in the studio, Ian, Nobody, and Chris, we were talking about the news about Tornado Cash and what does it actually mean for computer code to be added to the sanctions list. I mean, normally sanctions are some sort of world government. So you got Iran and North Korea and Iraq or Cuba. These are countries that are on the sanctions list. So that means that basically anybody that's in those countries, you're not allowed to do business with them.
I believe Turkey is also on that list.
I certainly don't have a complete list here, but that's what is included here in this email update from...
I wonder if the Young Turks know about that.
Whiteboard
which
Crypto.
Which is interesting because they're part of NATO.
Whiteboardcrypto.com has got this email here. And so then also there's certain individuals who are on this list. But now there's a computer code that is open source and is running currently on the Ethereum smart contract system called Tornado Cash.
Are you looking? One big question is: what about Ethereum miners? Do all Ethereum miners have criminal liability for this thing?
That's a great question. They actually do address that in this story, I think. So let me go on here. So he says it's now illegal for anyone in the U.S. to engage in trade or perform quote-unquote other dealings with a decentralized application known as Tornado Cash. For starters,
that's not vague at all.
This means,
no, of course not.
This could mean using it, depositing funds into the contract, and withdrawing funds from the contract. But to go even further, it could also mean donating to the project, which is found on Gitcoin, adding code to the project, or even visiting the website.
The code is back up on Gitcoin?
I don't know if it's back up. It may have been there. I don't know what Gitcoin is.
Well, you said Gitcoin, not
GitHub. That's
what
it says here. Yeah, Gitcoin. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
It sounds like some sort of
crypto-related
thing. So,
it's probably a crypto-related GitHub, which I should be on that.
More questionably, he says, you might even be guilty if you are found mining a transaction that interacts with the application. I mean, that is quite a stretch, but it could be the case. And for listeners that don't know what that means is, on systems like Bitcoin or Ethereum, there are miners that are constantly at work trying to verify transactions and essentially secure the network. So the suggestion here is that if you are the individual, if your computer miner is the one that found the block or mined that block onto the network permanently, if that there was a transfer between one, you know, Tornado Cash address and somebody else, then that would be you facilitating the alleged criminal activity of sanctions. So
that makes me wonder whether Monero miners know the content of the transactions as they mine them.
Seems unlikely.
They might not if it's truly zero information. Yeah. In which case, I don't know if that would protect them, but it's interesting. It would be hilarious if they forced us all onto Monero.
Well, that's the thing. That seems like where they're going to go next. And actually, he does address Monero in this as well, because that was the big question when this came out earlier this week. Okay, they're going after Tornado Cash. What's to stop them from going after any other privacy-related system on the internet, whether it be Monero or Zcash or, you know, you fill in the blank.
Yeah, usually they want to start with something that would make the average person go, ew.
That's why they trotted out North Korea with these allegations.
Right. You know, but it's like, doesn't North Korea have a right to trade? Are North Koreans just supposed to starve to death?
Apparently,
is
that's
that
what
the
they
plan?
Believe. Yep. He says, I know you're thinking they can't block a decentralized application, right? Well, technically it is decentralized, so it's very difficult to take down. However, putting it on the sanctions list is going to have a ton of second-order consequences, and so now he's going to get into what those are. For starters, any tokens used on the platform must prevent usage if possible. So, as we discussed earlier this week, USDC is a stablecoin, as they call it, which means it's a crypto token backed by the US dollar. It's issued by a company, a private company called Circle, which is based in the United States. So what happened earlier this week? Circle went into their system, their smart contract that they absolutely can administer because it's a centralized company. It's their code. They run the thing. And they blocked out, I don't know how many, you know, a dozen or whatever, maybe more addresses that were associated with Tornado Cash, and they froze all of the USDC in those accounts. Those people cannot touch their money, even though they may not have been doing anything illegal.
I've been thinking about how to get around this kind of thing.
Don't use USDC.
Well, don't use USDC. Yeah. But
or Tether.
Avoid stablecoins.
You know, it would be interesting to have little servers running on Raspberry Pis, which are just tiny little Linux boxes, and basically find like government buildings that have Wi-Fi and just plug them in, you know, make them unobtrusive and just plug them into an outlet and walk away. And
what would that do?
Well, basically, it could be sitting there mining or running a contract. But even if they physically locate it, they don't know who put it there.
They may have surveillance footage.
You're long gone.
Surveillance footage might be available.
Well, it might be, but of course, it may not. If you're smart, it may not have been you that actually put it there. Maybe you find a homeless guy and go, oh yeah, go into this government building and use the bathroom and plug this into the wall and walk away, and I'll give you $10. So they got to locate this homeless guy. But even when they, if and when they locate him, does he know who you are? Not if you're smart.
The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to join us here. So we'll talk about some of the other secondary and tertiary consequences here, like these centralized stable coins blocking people out, preventing them from even using their accounts. The number is 603-283-6160. There is a decentralized stable coin these days that's been around for a few years called DAI, but they made the mistake of backing their supposedly decentralized stable coin with USDC.
They need to DAI.
Yeah. Supposedly, they're taking a vote this week to change that and back it with other things. But what a mistake. More coming up. As inflation surpasses another 40-year high, the U.S. dollar continues to weaken. Savvy investors are diversifying into gold and silver, and you can also own the most stable assets in recorded history with BullionMax.com. BullionMax.com is a direct-to-consumer precious metals retailer who can help you diversify into gold and silver. It's security for your family in times of crisis. Buy direct from BullionMax.com without talking to a salesperson, and your precious metals ship fully insured directly to your home. It's fast and easy. Free Talk Live has a special offer to get you started. Get BullionMax.com Silver Starter Kit at employee pricing. Just go to BullionMax.com/FTL. This kit includes 5 ounces of the most desirable silver products, including a 2022 Silver American Eagle, a Buffalo Round, and a Buffalo Silver Bar. This offer is limited to one per household, so get yours now. Go to BullionMax.com/FTL. Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And also, Freedom's Phoenix is your source for all news, economic news, government overreach, insane government spending, and more. You can get today's headlines all in one place, and from a fresh libertarian perspective, you can find that and more at freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. As we continue here, we will dig in a little bit deeper into the tornado cash situation. Then Chris has a story about Pornhub being banned a second time from credit card providers?
Yeah, it has to do with advertising. Selling advertising?
Yeah, we'll talk about it coming up here in a bit.
Go away, silly British kniggit, or I will taunt you a second time.
We go first, though, to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. What I've been told is that, you know, our state has always been the Sioux state, from what I've been hearing.
And Sioux State?
The Sioux State?
S-U-E. Sioux State.
Okay. Like they sue people? Or are they litigious?
Yeah, very, 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 very litigious state. And I have seen many, many law offices around downtown. And I've also seen many lawyer commercials. And I'm trying to figure out why this is so. And what's the
well, people like
have?
Money and they don't like to work. So if you can use the court system to scam everybody outside of your money, you don't have to work. As a matter of fact, that would be a great way if you don't have any other skills, that would be a great way for you to spend your time. Go fall down in a bank. You know, I hate banks.
There was, of course, a very popular television series called Better Call Saul that is focused there in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Sarah, is there any evidence that New Mexico is more litigious than other states? Because it seems like the United States is a particularly litigious society in general.
Well, when you stop caring about people, you don't mind using force against them.
Well, you know what? Well, what I was amazed was that, you know, that McDonald's, that the water was too hot and it spilled onto her private. It burned her.
Yeah, it's an old case.
Well,
and it's not as crazy as it sounds like, because that particular coffee, I had a lawyer say, you know, that's a really bad example for you to use, because they actually had it like 20 degrees above the near boiling that they usually keep coffee at. So it did a significant amount more damage to this poor person
than
it would have done under normal circumstances. But go ahead.
Well, anyway, that was from Albuquerque, believe it or not. And the lady, the food, I mean, people got so upset with her that she had to move out of Albuquerque.
Oh, wow.
So that is the example of the Sue happiness of this place.
But again,
so, well, Sarah, I guess she was Sue sad by the end because she had to move.
Sarah, you didn't answer my question, though. Is there some evidence that says that New Mexico is more litigious than the rest of the states?
Well, I don't know the actual, like per capita data. I don't know if they have a real breakdown. But I have a theory why this is.
Data matters. It's not the plural of anecdote.
Go ahead with your theory.
Well, I have a theory why this is so. Because it's like that everybody has to kind of fend for themselves. Because
I thought you guys were all commies down there, share
alike.
That's
what she's saying. She's saying communism would fix this problem, right, Sarah? Is that what you're getting to?
Well, it's still just kind of like the wild, wild leftover mentality. In other words, the laws are not going to protect you. In other words, if you get run over by a red light violator, you have to sue them yourself. You have to get a lawyer and get money out of them. Because the state or the city is not going to protect you against speeders or red light violators or anybody else.
Actually a lot better for the poor bastard who got run over, because what they'll do in a lot of states is, oh, you ran this guy over. Okay, well, we're going to take $100,000 from you. The guy you ran over, he doesn't get a dime, but we're going to jack you. Yeah. Okay, but... you know, if I got ran over, I'd want that money myself. I'd feel worse if the government got a bunch of money out of it, because they're just going to hurt people with it.
So, Sarah, you actually believe that communism would stop this, right? You think that if there was a communist government, that people would have everything they needed, and so therefore they wouldn't be, the way that, you know, nobody was suggesting, all litigious and... lazy.
Are you aware that there are history books out there and you can actually read words on the paper and it will tell you about things that happened in the past? Because I think that if you knew anything about the history of the world, you would quickly abandon that theory.
You mean like the history of communism?
The history of communism, the history of reality.
Well, I didn't understand the communism part of it. I mean, we do have form of communism, like you said. Our stake is the most government assistance because of our poverty, more people on disability, Medicaid, food stamps, and whatnot also. But that aspect of communism, the other aspect is that our laws do not really, it's not stringent. That part is not so much
nobody's
communism.
Nobody's laws protect anybody.
Well, here's the thing is that we have to sue. They hired anybody, and then they raped girls. They had sex with mentally ill girls in the mental hospital.
Okay, who runs the mental hospital?
Half the people I've dated have been bat guano local.
Hold on, Sarah. Who runs the mental hospital?
Well, the thing is, your state people,
the quiet part is the government runs.
Our state, we don't. So then our state, they have to get a lawyer to sue on behalf of the
mental
ill
the mental hospital?
Well, you know, it's run differently. Your state, they would...
You're not
going
to answer that question, are you? We're going to hold your feet to the fire.
Can you answer the question?
Yeah, well, the government officials? I mean...
So you're saying that the government mental hospital is raping and molesting its own patients.
No, who hasn't been raped by the government a couple of times?
Hold up. They were negligent in hiring anybody, like janitors or idiots. They just hired anybody onto the staff.
And these are the people you want to run everything.
And you know why they're negligent? Because when they screw up, you pay.
And there's no consequences for them. That's true. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about some of the consequences of the Tornado Cash, the ban, basically, the sanctioning of Tornado Cash, which is an Ethereum mixer that is, as was pointed out earlier, just a code that exists on the internet. There's no corporation involved here. There's no individual who's running this thing. But yet the federal government's going to start targeting people who interact with this smart contract, apparently. At least that seems to be the intention. They are now targeting the people who apparently programmed the smart contract, with the Netherlands arresting this week. But they point out here that another potential consequence is that centralized exchanges may very well start blocking and reporting any transactions to their accounts that they think might be associated with any of the sanctioned accounts. So they're sanctioning a group of accounts that's associated with Tornado Cash, for instance, wherever it is that the mixing goes on, and they have to remove the coins from the mixer and send it to their clients. All of those have been sanctioned.
And like the no-fly list, most of these people are completely innocent.
Correct. And when you sign up to the exchanges, you know they collect your name and social security number and address, and they will be able to identify you if some of this information comes to some of this data comes to you, because that is ultimately what we're talking about, transferring data. That's what these contracts do. That's what cryptocurrency is. It's bits, it's bytes being moved around from point to point on the internet. The ISP here. One other thing worth mentioning is that access to the Tornado Cash website can be blocked by your ISP or the company that gives you internet. They can simply block any Tornado Cash web assets from being delivered to your address. And of course, there are ways around that.
You use a VPN.
You can have a VPN.
And it doesn't matter, because if it's delivered on the blockchain, then access it when you're not home.
The number 603-283-6160. You can join us here and share your thoughts. Bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
Phones are open, and you can bring up anything you want. We've been talking about the ramifications of what appears to be a first: banning programming, banning code that somebody wrote a few years ago called Tornado Cash. It is currently operating on the Ethereum blockchain. And what that means is there's not a server in a rack somewhere. Like normally when a computer code is being run, it's being run on a single computer, or maybe some computers in parallel or whatever, right? Like it's being run in usually one location on one machine or whatever. But in the case of Ethereum, the whole concept of the Ethereum crypto is not just that it's like Bitcoin, where it's being used as money. Ethereum is a programming system. It is a distributed computing system that people can upload code to, and the crypto, the Ethereum tokens or the Ethereum cryptocurrency, is used as the gas, if you will, the money that sort of makes the system go. Basically, you have to pay for every line of code that you want to be run. And so the more complex Ethereum contracts cost more to operate.
If it was cheaper, that would be a hell of a way to run a decentralized search system.
If Ethereum was cheaper, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ethereum's really, really expensive. The last I looked at some of the statistics on it, of course, now that the prices of everything have gone down, it's probably a little cheaper to use it. But
well, and of course, the other thing is you could just take the same software and spin up your own blockchain.
Sure. Well, there is Ethereum Classic already.
Yeah.
There is that. And there are other blockchains that have taken the Ethereum virtual machine, as they called it, and they put that on their blockchains, which are supposedly more efficient and faster. And I don't know which one is the market choice or anything like that at the moment. There are a bunch of them out there, including, I believe, Bitcoin Cash is now doing something in that area. So we've been talking about some of the ramifications, which are that they're essentially telling people, if you interact with this Tornado Cash and you're a quote-unquote U.S. person, that you could go to prison. And that
I'm
leads,
not an us person. I'm a them person.
And that leads to the question of, well, what if you're just simply mining the Ethereum blockchain, and that a prohibited transaction goes through your computer during, you know, the process of mining. Does that mean that you're now assisting in quote unquote money laundering in that case?
Working in a code mine going down.
Does that constitute knowing or should have known?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're alleging that this programmer, who they've now arrested in the Netherlands, and they're apparently charging him in the Netherlands, so he's not, there's no talk about him being extradited at this time. But they're, you know, they're going after people.
He's all right with the usual amount of dated.
Yeah, they're going after people, and they're saying, well, you made something that that people used criminally. So they're not saying that he per se even knew that. They're going after him anyway. And that's...
It's not even used.
Henry Ford's like, lucky he's dead. And Alexander Graham Bell. I mean, how many people arranged for a murder over the telephone and then drove a car to commit it?
Yep. Yeah, it's some small percentage of people used illegally, right? It's not even just...
It's a minority.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing right
minorities.
Now. And it brings up another question about Monero, and we touched on this briefly earlier, but the last point here they make on the Whiteboard Crypto release about this is, what does this mean for Monero? If the United States government can add a DApp, meaning decentralized application, to the sanctions list, then they can definitely add a coin. And this would be very bad for Monero, as it would ensure that all U.S. exchanges remove Monero from their listings, which would greatly prevent people from trading the asset. That doesn't mean it would be the end for Monero, but it probably wouldn't be good for future development and price action. And for those that don't know, Monero is sort of the world standard, if you will, for anonymized cryptocurrencies. We don't even know who the creator of Monero is, and thank goodness.
Yeah, lucky him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a smart move to not put your name on that particular product, because if they can go after a programmer of a simple mixer, well, they definitely would go after somebody who created Monero, which is much more obscure than just a simple crypto mixer.
Well, you got to look at it from their point of view. Their banking system is complete crap.
Yep.
How dare people come along and deliver something so much better that you owe your lives to these bankers. They own you, and you're trying to escape. Now, of course, some people might take the Frederick Douglass tack and say, when I left you, I took nothing but what belonged to me, and in no way reduced your means of making an honest living. This was from the escaped slave Frederick Douglass in a later letter to his so-called master.
Yeah, they're losing control is what's going on.
They're
freaking out about it, the government.
Yeah, and they're doing everything within their power to try to slow the spread of cryptocurrency, to try to stop people from getting their hands on these important technologies, because they will bring it will bring down the banking system if enough people make the switch.
But yeah, and the thing is, they literally, if they keep carrying this logic to its logical conclusion, which is where logic goes if you don't watch it, you know, if you can ban the DApp, why not ban the language it's written in, the platform it's written on? Why not bring all technological progress to an end, except that progress is made by the few people who have nursed on the snotty ends of the proper meat whistles and therefore are permitted to actually produce things?
You know, I think a good way to describe this might be, these are the these are the same people who want to ban cryptocurrency and are doing all this that want to ban cash and are. They've begun doing it.
They want total control.
And they want to ban farming. They're banning farming in the Netherlands and Canada.
Let's go to Rob. He's in Vermont.
All
Rob,
production must end.
You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, so have you guys been, or did you follow the case of the state of New Hampshire versus Vladimir Zukovsky at all?
No, I did hear about this.
Isn't that the president of the Ukraine?
No, but this guy is apparently from somewhere in Eastern Europe. But
from the name, you'd have to be
from Russia
or have just terribly cruel parents.
He was. What was he charged with? He was recently found not guilty by a jury, and apparently the governor of the state of New Hampshire is upset about it, and he's been lambasting the jury process, I guess, publicly.
Maybe I should cry.
What's the story, Rob?
Him and that meatball there that works at the attorney general's office. I'm losing. I can't remember his name, but they went ahead and made comments about the decision that the jury made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched this trial on WMUR.
Okay.
At the beginning, mm-hmm. Okay. You could hear a lot of people making all the comments about how bad this guy was and what he did.
Slam on the brakes for just a second. What was this joker charged with?
He was charged with 7 counts of manslaughter.
Good God, who'd he slaughter?
Well, I mean, what I'm getting to is that this guy was on Route 2 up in north in New Hampshire, and he was driving along on Route 2, and then in the other direction there was this motorcycle club.
I remember that crash.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. What was said was that the guy driving the truck, Vladimir Zukovsky, they said he was all gooned out on heroin.
Mm.
No, who isn't these days?
Which wasn't true. It wasn't in the morning that he was on heroin, and in the afternoon he was good or something?
Yeah, he was. They did a analysis on his blood. They found there was nothing in there.
Mm.
But what they didn't tell the public,
he's going to die.
No, he didn't. There was no heroin in his system.
Oh, okay. When you can live without that.
Okay.
Right. So, but what they didn't tell the public was the guy leading the pack in this motorcycle group. Was blood alcohol tested at 0.135.
Oh, so he's drunk. God, really drunk.
And that's how he died, the leader of the pack.
That's twice the legal limit of what he should have been having. And they were on their way to go to where? The American Legion.
So he can drink some
in
more.
Where?
If they were on their way. They came from a tech pack.
Hang on, Ross. Sounds like a really interesting story, and we're going to continue in a moment. The number 603-283-6160. It sounded like a head-on collision, because he said the truck was going in one direction and these bikers were going in another. And apparently the jury found this guy not guilty.
It's all that Russian disinformation.
There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160. You can join us. Hour number 3 is on the way. This is Free Talk Live. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. For 2023, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before Pork Fest. Fork Fest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 15th through the 18th. forkfest.party.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Kicking off the third hour of the show here in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
Nobody
hey, Chris.
Ever reminding you that
Nobody knows how to live your life better than you do, and nobody should be making your decisions for you.
Indeed. And you can decide to call us at 603-283-6160. That's what Rob in Vermont did. He's talking about a trial that recently wrapped up here in New Hampshire where a truck driver from, I guess, Eastern Europe was in an accident involving several members of a motorcycle club, and so what was it, seven people died, Rob?
Yeah, seven people died out of the club, but what they didn't tell the public was that club came from a keg party, okay, and everyone was all drinking.
Drunk as a cooter brown.
And you said that the leader of the motorcycle club had roughly double the legal limit of alcohol. I mean, that is pretty drunk.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so they determined that the guy driving the pickup was not impaired.
Okay.
You know, but they did prove that all the guys driving them bikes, they were all impaired.
So this wasn't he wasn't a trucker as in like a big rig. He was just driving a pickup truck.
No, he was driving a pickup truck and he was pulling a trailer.
In this case, it was a knockdown truck.
Right. And it was said that he was swerving all over the road, which in fact he wasn't. Hmm. And but the thing that's troubling about all of this, or a lot of different things, I should say, is that the guy was found not guilty. But yet, right after that trial, right after they took and he was detained by ICE.
Oh yeah, I heard
that's
about
cold.
That. I heard.
Yeah,
yes,
it was pretty terrible.
They're trying to extradite him from the U.S. or something, or basically stay here illegally.
Him? Well, I mean, because he had another previous charge in another state, I guess they can't send him back because he's a full American now.
Oh.
He got all of his walking papers or whatever you want to call it, but I don't know why how they could detain him if he's, already gone.
If he's a legal resident, yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
what does our master, our Lord and Savior Sununu, what exactly did he say about this? Do you have any direct quotes?
I don't have the direct quotes in front of me, but he said that both him and the attorney general dressed down the jury, saying that they got it wrong, and that this was a tragedy, and that,
did these idiots even sit through the whole trial?
Probably not.
No, I don't believe so.
They didn't make the case. Yeah. They didn't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt and get a conviction. In fact, their case was so piss poor, they didn't even get a hung jury. 100% of the jurors voted not guilty, and they set this guy supposedly free, and then ICE comes and snatches him up. It's
you
got
to have a bad case if the jury's so upset they hang themselves.
Well, I mean, a couple other things, too, is that, if another trial comes up, what are people going to think about wanting to be a jury member?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if they had televised that trial, they would have found him guilty.
Why? Why do you think
that? That's what I believe. Well, because the people that are in power over New Hampshire are corrupt.
Well, that's true everywhere. I mean, I don't know if that would have made a difference as far as the jurors are concerned, because when you televise a trial, you're generally under orders from the judge to not shoot the jury as far as, you can't show who they are. So they're just as anonymous in a televised trial as they are in a non-televised trial.
With cameras. I was thinking, God, you're never allowed to shoot them. this is an illustration, though. So many people think they're smart by getting out of jury duty. And I must admit, last time I got a jury summons, I didn't show, but I didn't know. And also I was under
you didn't get the summons until 2 months later.
Yeah. Also, I was under indictment, so there's no way they were going to let me on the jury. But if you ever have a chance to be on jury duty, you can save an innocent person's, maybe not save them from death, but save them from having all the value sucked out of their life.
You can save them from a conviction for some sort of quote-unquote crime that has no victim, which in many cases, or in the case of this person who is being wrongfully prosecuted, even though there were people who died in this particular case, it wasn't his fault. And that was proven pretty clear in this case. Obviously, the jury set this man free, despite the fact that he was an immigrant.
And always remember what they say in AA. They say you can recover from addiction. But you can't recover from conviction.
My opinion is that, Prince Sununu should step down and let nobody take his place because nobody tells the truth, nobody can fix the economy, and nobody cares about the poor.
And nobody should be governor. True. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it, man. Governor. Thanks for bringing that story up, Rob, because I had heard the headlines and I didn't know the details, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. So thanks for the call. You know, it is a shame that you aren't running this time around, nobody, because and the only reason you really aren't, is, as I understand, is just because the criminal procedure, essentially, you...
basically because I was under an indictment, and now I'm under sentence, so for 2 years, I'm pretty much stymied in that. But that's okay. I can build name recognition because not enough people know who nobody is.
Yeah, and it's a shame because last time you ran in 2020, you ran as a Republican. It was when you changed your name from Rich Paul to nobody to run for office for governor as a Republican candidate here in New Hampshire. And you talked about changing to Democrats to run on that side of thing, but again, the criminal charges basically prevented that from happening. But I was reminded of your absence last week. It was Friday. I took the day off, and Bonnie and I went to a political event where it was mostly, I think it was almost all Republicans, but some
I
of them were.
I wondered where you guys were.
Yeah, some of them were libertarians, you know, running as Republicans or whatever. But there's an event that was put together by a lady named Therese Grinnell. She's called this show before, and she kind of got activated by the whole COVID crackdown situation. She'd never been an activist. She'd never been an activist before, and she was a nurse. And so, of course, things were really crazy where she was working. And so
now she's nursing a grudge.
I don't think she works for that organization anymore. But she is out, and she is definitely trying to make a difference in New Hampshire. And so she put together this event. Absolutely. She invited people that were running for governor and for state senate and for executive council. So I got an invite to be there. And, you know, have the opportunity to speak to the audience, which was at least 130 people by my count when I spoke. So not too shabby for a newer organization. And then later in the evening, they had the gubernatorial debate. And there are 5 people running for governor, I think, aside from Sununu, or maybe it's 4, but several. There's several people. And I just thought, man, it's a shame nobody's not on that stage because there was really no outstanding candidate at all. They're all very kind of conservative Republican sounding, and it would have been great to have somebody up there that actually understood the principles of liberty because they don't.
Wow, they got nobody.
Yeah. Anyway, you were missed in that case. If you do want to see my...
Well, they've missed me every time. That's why I'm still alive.
If you do want to see my speech, it was all about independence. I took the time that I had and I focused on the new study that came out a few weeks ago showing that 52% of Republicans in New Hampshire already, before Trump got raided, they supported the idea of New Hampshire being an independent country. And focused on some of the interesting statistics from that survey, and I got a lot of compliments after the fact. A lot of people, I got applause during, a lot of like more applause than I expected during the speech, and a lot of compliments afterwards. So people are open to the ideas of independence.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Twitter chatter, a lot of people twittering on about national divorce, and I think that's the way to put it because it makes it clear what's going on. We got irreconcilable differences
with an abuser.
I'm on neither side, but I just hate living among living in a place where half of the people hate the other half of the people.
The number here is 603-283-6160. The latest on Pornhub coming up. It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open, and you can join us here. The number 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about the corruption of of government, which of course is always corrupt because that's what the way it is. Centralized monopolies over power and violence, and no one should be surprised when there's rampant vile people attracted to those jobs. Tonight it's Ian,
Nobody,
and Chris.
And don't forget, you can join us online anytime. Just go to freetalklive.com. We do have a social media platform. It's at social.freetalklive.com. It's a Mastodon-based system. It's open source. It's self-hosted. It's federated, as they call it, with thousands of other Mastodons all across the planet. Very, very cool system, and you can jump on there and interact with other Free Talk Live hosts and listeners of the show over at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live, of course, wants to thank listeners like Shooty, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of the AMPS program. Shooty is silver level, which means that he's doing what we ask, which is $5 a month to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And you can be like Shooty just by going to amps.freetalklive.com and get signed up there. It's our Patreon. You can do it with credit card, debit card, PayPal, your choice. And you get some cool benefits for doing that. So thank you, Shooty, and thanks to everybody who would join over at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. Chris, Pornhub. They're back in the news. This is one of the world's largest porn websites out there, and they were in the news a couple, maybe 2 or 3 years ago for basically being cut off from credit card processing services by companies like MasterCard and Visa at the time because, well, there's this whole thing with these bankers that basically they don't want to do business with sex shops. They don't want to do business with porn producers and anybody who's connected with the sex trade or the sex industry in some way. They just have a real tough time getting banking services.
Yeah, there's
they must be miserable human beings if, like, the thought of anybody getting off anywhere just drives them mad.
Yeah, there is I think it's a right-wing organization, but I'm not 100% sure. So there's, like, it seems like the left is also, there's a left-wing extremist, like, group that I think would also are also against porn, basically.
Porn is the one area where the religious nuts and the feminist nuts agree.
These are basically the same people, I believe, who were going after, like, homosexuality and things of that nature back in the day. And now they're going after entities like Pornhub and using what we say is FUD, or fear, uncertainty, doubt, to target entities that are in the porn business, basically.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, they basically, the New York Times did an expose, I think is how they phrase it, on basically the fact that there is what they're calling child porn on Pornhub. And
are we talking about years ago or
this
just
is
now?
Years ago,
right?
Okay. Or, I don't know if it was years ago, but it was not that long ago.
Years,
it was
2 or 3 years. It's, or something.
Yeah. It might have been within the past year or two, but yeah.
Actually what I read was there were actually some people who were abused and films of their abuse was put online.
Yeah.
So that is particularly insidious. That's nasty.
So there's no doubt that, you know, there probably was. So what people have to understand is it's the way Pornhub used to work was anybody could upload content.
Kind of like YouTube.
Yeah.
That way they
just like YouTube.
Yeah.
There's so much content being posted all the time. There's no practical way for any entity to, you know, review all of the footage.
So they would have to rely on their users to flag things,
right,
and then they could get a review.
And of course, users, a lot of them are not going to flag content that they like, right?
Yeah.
So
just about none of them will flag content to like.
Yeah, and a lot of content will get flagged that isn't illegal, too,
sure,
or against the rules or whatever. Anyway, so there's just all this content, and it's or mixed information as to whether or not something, what to do about something. Like,
right,
it's a question mark.
What they ended up doing, again, they got cut off by credit card processing for allowing people to sign up with credit cards. That was one sort of consequence of this. But they also created a new system to where they wouldn't allow anybody to just sign up and just throw an email in and start uploading videos. So they started doing Know Your Customer, basically, and requiring identification from everybody that was uploading videos.
I believe it was even more than that.
Okay. But yes, basically, in order to upload, you had to prove who you were and
have a validated account or something. Yeah. And I think that also meant they deactivated all the accounts that wouldn't validate.
They deleted 80%, I believe it was, of the content on Pornhub in order to, you know, appease, you know, these Christian fundamental, you know, nutters or whatever. And it's, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, obviously when you have a content, you know, a site like Facebook or YouTube or whatever, or, you know, you go on the internet, user created content. There's going to be, you know, stuff out there, you know, that you are hosting effectively that, you know, you don't know about.
Yeah.
Now, they come out and they say, okay, well, you should have done something about this because it was reported. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that, because when you're looking at content and somebody's 17 and somebody's 18, you know, how do you tell the difference just by looking at it? Anyway,
that's why they have records mandates and that sort of thing, right?
Right. Anyway, so they're kind
of being amateur content doesn't have that.
That's true.
Right. So anyway, so they cut that off. Well, now that's not good enough, right? Like deleting 80% of the content on your platform is not good. Nothing will be good enough until porn goes away, basically. For these people, right?
If somebody's popping a rod, you're doing something wrong.
Right. Right. So anyway, so there was they're taking, and of course they use cases that are the most, how do I say this? They're at the
egregious?
Probably at the more, or something as the more egregious end of the spectrum to, you know, enrage us, you know, as the public reading these types of stories. And so in this case, it apparently involved apparently a boyfriend filmed some sort of sexual interaction with a 13-year-old. I don't know if the boyfriend was...
Oh, boy.
The boyfriend might have been underage too at the time. Anyway, point is, it ended up on Pornhub. And
even under the new verified scheme?
I don't know if this was before that or after it. I think it would have been before that.
I think it was an old story. I've read this, but I don't know.
The lawsuit is happening today, but it goes back a ways. So it probably was before the restrictions. Anyway.
Who's suing who?
So the girl who was filmed,
the quote unquote victim.
Yeah, the victim. I mean, I don't want to say she's not a victim.
Somebody's doing revenge porn. I would say that creates a victim.
Well, yeah, we don't know. Was it revenge porn or did she consent to?
It doesn't say that in this story anywhere I've read. So I don't know. It may have been like consensual. I mean, again, nobody under 18 or whatever in, you know, these people's eyes can consent. Therefore, it was somehow abusive.
Well, no, in New Hampshire
abusive,
and many other states, you can legally consent to sex at 16, sure, and 17, but again, you can't consent to have it recording.
I'm talking about these people.
Until you're
these
18.
People's definition is going to be 18 or 21 or something like that, right? So their definition, they can't consent, right? Legally, maybe you can at 16 in New Hampshire. In other states, it's different depending on the state. But
not to being recorded. That's the point. It's like you can consent
right
to sex.
Even though they were minors and did the recording themselves, they can't
it's
consent
still illegal.
To... Yeah. Even if you film yourself as
that's
a minor,
correct.
It's illegal.
They'll prosecute you for that.
They consider it non-consensual, which is crazy. But.
Yeah. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160, and we'll see how this all ties into the payment system coming up as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The number here is 603-283-6160, and you can bring up anything you want here on this program where it's open phones every single night. You can also join us online anytime. Just go to freetalklive.com, and you can follow us via RSS feed. What is that? Well, that's the technical name for a podcast. You can follow our RSS feeds. There are a few different ones that we have.
Really simple syndication
Correct.
Is what that stands for.
You can go to feeds.freetalklive.com, and you'll find a few different options there. There's our main feed that has everything that we publish for audio. There's a digest-only feed for those that prefer the shorter version, the truncated versions of the show. And there's also the full episodes feed there as well over at feeds.freetalklive.com, plus links to some of the major platforms where those things are already plugged in. It's easy to subscribe there. So check it out at feeds.freetalklive.com. Chris, you were just getting into a story, sort of the history of Pornhub, which is one of the world's largest porn websites that used to just allow anybody to pop an email address in, create an account, and just start uploading content.
I don't even know if it was
That's what we like to call a bad plan.
That's what happened, and I don't know how complicated it was, but it was supposedly very easy. And then they realized that that was putting them at some level of risk because people were uploading things that they shouldn't have been legally uploading. And then they cracked down and they said, nope, now you have to identify yourself. Now you got to prove an ID. You got to, you know, basically go through a know your customer procedure, and you're putting your name on the line for anything that you upload at that point.
Yep.
And that you said that resulted in them wiping out 80% of their user generated content.
It's something along those lines. I think in the prior case, there was, I think it had to do with Girls Gone Wild. They used to advertise on like late night back in the 90s.
That's right.
Anyway, so apparently some of those girls were underage. And basically, one of the problems with this is that when you get told that you've got content that is, you know, quote unquote child porn, and it's you're paying somebody for that, you know, porn through whatever deals that you've got, and they're saying it's not child pornography or whatever, right? And there's no lawsuit. There's nothing to show that yes, this, you know, there's no court making a decision.
That's you're why supposed to you keep records if you're gonna record somebody like that. So you can say some this of this person stuff, signed this form.
So some
and
of this
is her ID.
So we have to remember that this wasn't always the case, right? Mm-hmm. This is stuff that's changed over the decades in terms of record keeping, right?
Sure.
That wasn't the case a couple of decades ago. That wasn't.
It was probably a couple decades ago, but maybe 4 decades it probably wasn't or something.
From
like
the 70s, that wasn't the case, right? Okay, so.
In the 70s, it wouldn't have even been legal to do it in the first place.
It was at some point in the 70s it became legal. Anyway, the point is that over the decades, and I think this might go back to the late 90s, something like that, is when the record keeping requirement came into effect. I was alive. I remember reading about it when it was happening. So, I mean, I was pretty young, but I was a teenager probably at that point. But anyway, the point is simply that you end up, these things change, right? So you can't even have necessarily record, or you probably wouldn't have. The law passed before, but it was going through the court system probably in the 90s. As far as something was going through the court system in relation to it at that point. Or maybe they changed it a little bit somewhere in there. Anyway. But the point is simply that the laws are changing, right? So you've got to end up coming up. And this is, you have to remember, there's a difference between this. This has got to do with production, not necessarily hosting, right? So there's different rules for hosting. You're not necessarily liable for something that you host. You might be liable if you produce it and distribute it without doing the record keeping, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean you're liable if you host something.
Makes sense.
Because it's user generated. Anyway, so it ends up getting very complicated when you have a ton of content. And remember, this doesn't just apply to Pornhub. The most amount of child pornography, as I understand it, is actually on Facebook, not Pornhub. So
it's actually probably on the FBI servers, but let's leave them out of it for the moment.
The point that I'm trying to make is that they're basically demanding this impossible, this impossibility, right? There's no way to have user-generated content. So unless you plan to get rid of YouTube and you plan to get rid of Facebook and you
basically might plan to do that,
right? I mean, this is effectively what is being argued by these, you know, these fanatics, these right-wing fanatics here. In regards to this, anyway, so this story though is more specifically, you know, it's using your emotions. It's getting at your emotions here because it involves a 13-year-old girl who, apparently, I don't know, it's not clear, but presumably they're not. Usually, they'll say it if it was non-consensual. They'll say something to that effect because it will bring out even more emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So they haven't said that here. So presumably, it sounds like it's a situation where, you know, the boyfriend.
She was knowingly
and the girl,
involved, not recorded without her knowledge.
Right. She knowingly partook.
Whether or not you want to have a debate over whether or not she
uploaded with
her. Right. Whether or not she, you want to have a debate over whether or not she could consent, there would be the question of whether she was done without her knowledge, and then that's another question.
Right. It doesn't really matter. The point is just here that, basically now
at some point, Pornhub has to make a decision about this content. Anyway, so this is, again, this is going to be one of those probably more extreme cases. Most of the content is probably
just
not.
Just for the record, if you're uploading pornos of 13-year-old girls and somebody bitch smacks you, don't come to me for mediation. I will have zero, zero, zero sympathy for you.
Anyway. So content can easily get missed. It can get overlooked, even if it gets reported, because again, you're probably getting more reports of stuff that isn't actually, you know, forced or illegal or whatever, mm-hmm. than you are of stuff that is. And
it's just a bunch of people's opinions. Right. You've got to filter through them.
Right. And then you've got to have somebody filter through them, which mm-hmm. costs a lot of money because again, I mean, if you have to watch a 30-minute video to find out whether or not there's child porn in it, I mean,
yeah, and you can't just glance at the first minute and you wouldn't know, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh boy.
And then you have to remember.
And those poor bastards have to end up shell shocked after just watching just the worst of the worst of the porn in the world. God. I mean, two girls, one cup, day, every day. I mean, sooner or later, you just blow your brains out.
Well, there's actually stories about, I haven't heard them about the Pornhub reviewers, but the Facebook people, the people that are tasked with reviewing all the reported posts on Facebook, you know, violence posts, gore posts, so they're the worst of the internet is what these people have to deal with, and it is pretty tough, and apparently.
They've got
job.
A fraction of a
That's
second.
That's why they don't have anybody on 4chan. They couldn't keep them.
No.
They've got a fraction of a second to make a decision as to, you know, whether or not this is allowed or not,
an offensive image up, and then
taking that into consideration, right? If even if you have five people, you know, say yes or no, right, like reviewing it, which would never happen, but assuming that happened, let's say it got reported five times and five people reviewed it, it could be, you know, reasonably it could be, say, you know, the reviewer could be like, no, this doesn't look like whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And it could still be child porn or whatever.
It could
right?
be wrong,
and you know, anyway, but that doesn't mean that the company didn't make a good faith effort. You know, they had a system in place. They did, you know, what they, you know, might be even more than reasonable in terms of complying. But that's not good enough. That's never good enough. And anyway, so this case, let's get into this case a little bit. Visa and MasterCard said Thursday, card payments for advertising on Pornhub. So they've already suspended Pornhub for taking payments. And I think it had to do with giving money to the porn stars basically on Pornhub, because like there's a way to donate, and I think that's what was suspended before.
A couple of years ago they were prohibited from allowing customers to sign up with Visa and MasterCard.
They're in suspension bondage.
Yeah, and wasn't that in order to pay or make donations, or maybe
no,
it was
to sign up for a paid account.
So there apparently there's a second.
That's when they started taking Bitcoin, and that was what the news was at the time.
Okay, okay. Yeah. You're probably right. So in this case, what they're doing is they're selling advertising on Pornhub,
okay,
I guess.
Because that's what they're desperate, right? They can't take money
for, you know, users accessing the site, I guess, right, or something to that effect. So now they're just selling advertising.
I've always said that porn would be the killer app for cryptocurrency. Mm. That's what made the internet must have.
Yeah.
So here's what the story says. Visa and MasterCard said Thursday card payments for advertising on Pornhub and its parent company MindGeek would be suspended after a lawsuit stroked controversy over
whether
yeah, interesting.
Does it actually
words.
Say that?
Yes, it does. The payment giants, they're accusing Visa and MasterCard of facilitating child pornography because they're allowing Pornhub to accept credit cards for a site that doesn't even have user-generated content anymore.
Who's accusing them? We're going to come back to more of this. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything in the remaining moments. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I'll let you know about an event coming up in October where our very own Mark Edge is going to be speaking. It is called Liberty in Our Lifetime. Free Cities Foundation is their annual conference this year, happening in Prague, October 21st through the 23rd. They're showcasing autonomous cities and intentional communities springing up around the world, offering opportunities for settlers to live freer lives. The theme this year is Parallel Structures for Progress. They'll be exploring physical developments and parallel structures emerging in education and finance, offering alternatives for people looking for better ways to learn, educate their children, and invest in the future. You can go to their website, lifetimeliberty.com. Use code FTL20 when you're checking out with your tickets for 20% off of the tickets that you purchase to go to Prague October 21st through the 23rd. You can follow their Twitter account, which is LibertyIOL. That's at LibertyIOL. To get updates on the event. And if you want to pay with Bitcoin, you can send them a message over Twitter, and they will facilitate that for you. It's lifetimeliberty.com.
What? What does that mean?
Whatever the I don't know. You have to attend the conference and see for yourself. Once again, lifetimeliberty.com, October 21st through the 23rd. Chris, you're telling us a story involving a teenager who was ostensibly recorded and video posted online. She's under the age of majority in most countries. And
yeah, it happened a long time ago now.
And Pornhub is now being sued over this.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Yeah, Pornhub is being sued, and Visa MasterCard's involved now. And
are they in New Mexico? Because I hear that only happens in New Mexico.
They're being attacked because they're now being accused of facilitating child pornography as a result of
Visa and MasterCard are being accused of this?
Yes, of providing services to
Pornhub. The defendants in the case?
Who created the dollars?
Well,
though?
I don't know that they're defendants in the case, but they're being pressured by these right-wing nut jobs. Mm-hmm. And they're using this emotional case to basically, even after they've just, you know, eliminated all user generated content, which is where the case generated from.
Yeah.
They're being attacked for, you know, so-called facilitating, you know, child porn. And the crazy thing is Pornhub, they, you know, the whole thing is just a crazy case.
What else do we need to know about it?
So Visa and MasterCard said Thursday the card payments for advertising on Pornhub. Okay, so they're accepting
suspended.
Money using Visa and MasterCard to accept money from people who want to advertise on Pornhub. Basically, right?
They're not allowed to anymore. It's suspended.
Yeah, so they're suspending it because of pressure, because Visa and MasterCard are being accused of facilitating child pornography because of something Pornhub did ages ago, and Visa and MasterCard allowed, you know, quote unquote,
they would
to
have
go
no
on.
Idea, of course.
Well, right. Anyway, so, but even if it was reported to them, it's not like they're going to investigate. They're doing, you know, they're just doing credit card transactions. Mm-hmm. They can't, based on the credit card transactions, they don't know, you know, what's going on with Pornhub anyway. And Pornhub is a big business. It's one of the largest, you know, pornographic.
It's one of the largest websites, period.
Yeah, and it's MindGeek owns other sites as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just that. So if anybody is going to have a responsibility, it would be Pornhub. It would be MindGeek. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be Visa and it shouldn't be Visa and MasterCard.
Okay.
I mean, if MindGeek can't even handle it, being the
largest. Well, as you said, it's not clear whether or not they're even defendants in the case. They may just be covering their ass.
They're not. Visa and MasterCard, I don't believe they're defendants in the case.
Okay.
They're just reacting to the public pressure from the, you know, right-wing, you know.
Yeah, it's them saying, hey, we're doing something.
Right.
It's the right-wing version of woke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. So Visa obviously condemns sex trafficking, blah, blah, blah. Kelly said the court decision created uncertainty about the role of traffic junkie. And basically what she's referring to is
traffic junkie.
Yeah, that's their advertising arm for MindGeek.
Okay.
Uncertainty.
Some interesting naming going on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So basically Pornhub, knows that there's child pornography on its site. Right?
That's what they're alleging in the case, you mean?
Well, that's what the judge ruled, okay?
Oh, this case is over.
No, that's just like a first part of the case.
Oh, okay, an initial ruling.
Right,
okay,
right. And the problem with this is that every hosting platform knows there's child porn being hosted. It's not whether or not you know there's child porn being hosted. It's whether or not you know about specific content that's being hosted and how you dealt with it, right? So otherwise, everybody's guilty.
Well, presumably, if they knew and did nothing, child porn, then they would be guilty. But if they're alerted and they remove it, then they wouldn't be.
Right, exactly.
It's one thing to know that your service is being used for a particular purpose. But like, I know that there's now, because somebody just told me, that there's a bunch of child porn on Facebook. And Facebook likely knows that, too. But
knowing that it's there and finding it.
But do they know where it is?
Two different things.
Right. So specific instances, right, have to be reported before there's you know, anyway. So, but the judge didn't rule that. They're just ruling that, okay, yes, there is or was child pornography, you know, hosted. And MindGeek knew that there was child pornography hosted. They haven't, as far as I know, they haven't proven that, you know, they knew this specific instance or anything like that. That would be proven at trial. Anyway, so... Anyway,
or not.
This is what creates the uncertainty for Visa and MasterCard. Yeah. That's what she's referring to. Kelly said the court decision created uncertainty about the role of Traffic Junkie, MindGeek's advertising arm, and accordingly, the company will suspend its Visa acceptance privileges. Again, remember, this is all over an accusation that hasn't been proven in court yet, even.
Sure, that's typical.
I mean, if it's all it requires is an accusation like this, I mean, they can shut anybody down.
Sure.
Just any major site can
shut anybody down. They're shutting gun dealers down. Yep. Visa and MasterCard are. The banking system
is. Are we supposed to disconnect the internet?
This is why we need crypto.
Are ISPs supposed to disconnect the internet from everybody because they know that there's child pornography out there? I mean,
well,
this is crazy.
You can't prove you're innocent, you shouldn't be on the internet.
I mean, yes, child pornography bad, right? But you can't overreact like this, and that's what's going on. They're overreacting, and
but
they're
it's
trying
typical
to
for these corporate
draw out
people.
Sympathy.
I mean, these corporate guys are going to always go this direction. I mean, even in the Crypto 6 case, that Nobody and I and four of our friends were charged in. Andy, who was one of the six, he lost his job immediately from Walmart, where he had worked as like a manager in one of the distribution centers for years. And they just,
oh,
like, you're done.
Oh, good God, there's people working for Walmart that have done some stuff that curl your hair.
He was just alleged to have, you know, allegedly lied to a bank. I mean, they fired him for that. And there was nothing proven.
Right.
So this is typical. These corporate guys, they will jump to, they'll hop to, whenever the government says hop, they hop, they say how high.
Yeah.
And they hire felons.
Sure.
Don't they?
I don't know. Maybe.
Probably.
I mean, I've seen some of their staff. I'm pretty sure they do.
So, So Visa also suspended the sites that contained user-generated content. So basically, Visa and MasterCard are suspending all sites, I think, that have user-generated content.
So basically, this is going to come down to a site like Pornhub is going to go in the same direction as YouTube, where... Yeah, there's still some user-generated content on YouTube, but for the most part, they're pushing the mainstream stuff like CNN.
They're trying to turn the internet into cable television.
Completely corporatized.
Save space.
Yeah.
And so they're going to make it so that the site will still exist, but it will only have professionally produced pornography on it that has all the paperwork in order.
That's 100% what's already happened with Pornhub.
And nobody will ever present an interesting idea on YouTube again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's what the story says about, you know, what happened exactly. The woman is suing Visa and MindGeek over sexually explicit video her boyfriend filmed of her when she was 13 years old. So nothing about it being forced or, you know, I mean, anyway, it was obviously
still
illegal
still,
chill. But yeah, right. U.S. District Judge Cormack of the Central District of California in Santa Ana said Visa made the decision to continue to recognize MindGeek as a merchant despite its alleged, again, this is alleged knowledge that MindGeek monetized child porn. So not proven, just alleged. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Hedge fund manager Bill Ackman recently spoke out about the controversy.
He's just hedging his bet.
Calling on Visa to pressure Pornhub to remove child pornography from the site, which they already did a couple of years ago. They've already done all this, right? Like, this is the crazy. This is how crazy.
This is old news, and but it's new news.
It's sort of an update because they're trying to kill all revenue to Pornhub, not because of child pornography, because child pornography doesn't even exist anymore because there's no user-generated content. It's solely to go after Pornhub because, you know, they're... You know,
they got money.
It's porn, you know? Yeah. These people don't like porn. And the sick thing about
this is... They show things that Republicans' wives won't do.
I think the sickest thing about this is that you've got all these, you know, people who are, you know, getting up there and defending what Visa and MasterCard are doing. And they're saying, you know, this is what they should be doing or whatever. And it's absolutely crazy because it's like, well, if you do it to Pornhub, you also got to do it to Facebook, you got to do it to YouTube, and you basically completely shut down, you know, the internet as we know it.
Yeah, they would have a tougher time getting away with
it. And how about DARPA? They developed the whole internet in the first place. They need to be shut down.
I think they're going to have a tougher time going after Facebook, though, because there's so many more people.
But there's more kiddie porn there.